We've been observing our society in our monthly series, The Changing Face of America, and as we've done so, we couldn't help but notice that an entire generation has been raised with a fluency in a new language, the language of computers. How we interact with them, how we navigate around their interfaces. Older Americans can learn it, but young people breathe it. Here's NPR's Margot Adler.
It's safe to say that in every community in America, there are parents worried about their children's use of the Internet. It's probably also safe to say that in almost every classroom, there's at least one child who finds the world of computers a wonderland and the Internet a lot more interesting than school. Often it's a creative kid who would prefer to learn by building something, or like 17-year-old Logan Thornton of Chugiak, Alaska, by reading alone or doing research on the Internet.
It's not structured. People aren't deciding what I should learn. I get to look at whatever interests me most, and I'm better at learning things by reading than I am by being lectured on them.
After years of problems in school, Logan has been dropped from the Alaska school system. His mother, Marty Thornton, has been struggling with the school system ever since Logan was in second grade. She's given up, she says, but for years her fears for Logan's future dominated her thoughts.
We have to get you an education. We have to get that piece of paper because otherwise nothing will work. I was so locked into that.
Perhaps there have always been kids like Logan. But there are some educators who say that computers and the Internet are causing their numbers to increase.
50 years ago, it was much easier to buy into the idea that the school was the portal to society, to adult life. No kid can believe that today.
Seymour Papert is the creator of the computer language logo. He is a professor of education and media technology at MIT. He describes himself as a campaigner for serious change in schools. He says if a surgeon from 100 years ago walked into an operating room today, nothing would be the same. Not so for a teacher walking into a classroom today.
The visiting time-traveling teacher could take over quite easily. The idea that you can have business as usual in the learning domain in this coming century is as absurd as the prospect of business as usual was in the medical domain after the discovery of germs, for example.
Seymour Papert is not alone in this view. Don Tapscott, the author of Growing Up Digital, says that this generation, greater in numbers than the boomers whom they echo, know more than their parents about this new technology, something with profound implications for power relationships between schools and students and parents and children.
Kids know more than their parents. This is the first time in human history when children are an authority about the big revolution. That's changing every institution in society. And if you got a teenager in your house, you know what I'm talking about. Who does the systems administration in your home?
I wondered, if I went into a high school or into homes where computer-savvy kids live, would I see the kinds of changes in authority relationships that Papert and Tapscott are talking about? Champlain Valley Union High School, or CVU, has 1,200 students. It's a public high school that serves families in 5 Vermont towns. The student body is economically diverse, but it's mostly white, like the state. Most of the students know more about computers than their parents do. I watched kids doing research in the computer lab and the library. Then I hung out for a while in the AV or audiovisual office, 2 rooms filled with computers, video cameras, and editing machines. We posed our question about power to several students, among them Lee Bass, Nick Cropad, and Nicole Bilodeau.
So there's a definite change in power as far as the Internet and everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's often that parents are asking their kids to, like, install these security systems because they don't know how to do it themselves.
so the kids end up doing it, so they can get in anyways, you know.
My mother doesn't know anything about computers. She doesn't even know how to use the mouse.
When we asked teachers and administrators at the high school to point out a computer whiz, they all mentioned David Parker, a senior who will go to Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute next year. David Parker was running the school's website, running the lighting for the school theater, mentoring teachers about technology, and working for a software company part-time. Perhaps it was amazing that we actually found him reading a passage of the Bible out loud in an English class.
Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain...
In his tidy home in Williston, Vermont, David Parker sits on the white living room couch. The walls of the room are covered with art, all done by David, his younger sister, or his mother Susan, an art teacher. Rich, David's dad, sits next to him. Rich works for IDX, the same software company that David works at, but on the business side. It's often said that only a child can learn a foreign language flawlessly, with no accent. If technology is the language, Rich and Susan clearly believe their son is the native speaker.
It's a little scary because he's known more than we've known for probably 7 or 8 years. And as your kids get older, you sort of know that they're going to catch up to you in some ways. But he caught up so quickly that it was just a little startling.
And how did you cope with this?
Just let him go.
Where do you see your own parental authority as being primary, and where do you see it not being? How do you negotiate that?
I see it as we give him a little bit of guidance. I think David has always been very mature in terms of being able to make the right kinds of decisions.
David, who is lanky, dark, good-looking, with deep brown eyes, seems very matter-of-fact about his abilities. Sure, it's empowering, he says.
There's still a lot of things, different things that I can learn from my parents and from my friends and from my teachers, and just because there's one area of technology that I might be able to teach them something about, they can teach me a lot about a lot of other different things.
Bill Mars taught David European history at the high school, but he chose David as his mentor to improve his computer skills. The power issue, he says, never came up.
It was a funny arrangement. Here was David, the expert. I'd go to him the way a student would go to a teacher for extra help. And yet, I never until today thought about it in those terms. He was just a friend, and a knowledgeable friend.
Does he think there are broader implications regarding the power between generations?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I look at my own 14-year-old, who's light years ahead of me in computers, and I think it gives him even an intensified teenage arrogance. You know, he came in to fix something last night, which was, to him, just stupid. But I couldn't figure it out, so he did it. So I think it did give him a sense of superiority.
Yet Bill Maher says he is clear about his own role as a teacher, to guide, to help students take charge of their own learning, but he reserves the right, he says, to tell them when they are going down the wrong path. At Champlain Valley Union High School, we saw kids hand in their homework on computer disks. In some classes, work took place directly over the internet. The principal of the high school, Val Gardner, thinks new technology will have a revolutionary impact in changing the perception that education is confined to the classroom.
Before, you had to go to the library to pick stuff up. Now you don't. You had to go to the grocery store. Now you don't. I'm beginning to hear people say, you know, I don't have to go to the bank anymore during hours. Why does school have to run 8 to 3?
But clearly, that's a future vision, which may or may not come to pass. Chris O'Donnell, a social studies teacher who is David Parker's advisor, says although technology has enriched CVU, it will never replace the human spark.
If I had to pick between having a school that was equipped with all the greatest and latest best technology, or having a school that had a great jazz band, or a place where a kid could write an awesome play and have her classmates perform it, or I would always pick the school that had the people things in place.
But perhaps a hallmark of students in this generation is that they don't make this kind of dichotomy between technology and the rest of their lives. One morning I met Aaron Smith, a junior at the high school. He seemed a bit more mischievous than David Parker, someone who told us right out he had various tricks to fool his parents about what he was doing on the internet. So I decided to go to the Smith family home. Aaron Smith has curly blonde, slightly unruly hair, and a smile that makes you think adventure lies just down the road. He lives in Charlotte, Vermont, in a lovely house right on the edge of Lake Champlain. His stepfather, Carl, is a lawyer. His mother, Debbie, is a guidance counselor. He has a younger brother, Dylan. I started to get a tour of the house, but when I got to the computer room or study, we all stopped. On the walls, there were photographs of the kids playing sports. There was a warmth, a friendly clutter, and a sense of constant use.
So what did you just do?
There aren't really any of my male friends on right now.
And as we gathered around the main computer, there was an older one as well, seldom used, there was a sense that we were sitting around a new kind of hearth.
I don't know if adults get impatient because they're old and
They're all
yeah.
Well, they're older, and this is all new to them, and it's hard, or if they're just not willing to take the time. But
do you find that he's more adept than you on this, or not?
Yes. I hate to admit it, but yes. In fact, I think it's clear that kids, as a rule, are much more adept at this new device than adults are. And it comes much easier to them, because they're not tied up to the rules that we always had when we grew up.
What rules?
Well, you start on the left-hand side of the page at the top, and you work across and down, and when the kids come to a computer, they can go in any direction and in any way.
I hope I'm not breaking any secrets, I said, but Aaron told me he fools you sometimes.
Oh, I know he does, because all of a sudden the screen will change when I come walking in the room. So, yes.
Here, for example, I'm on Yahoo, and I have to do a project about the civil rights movement and write a paper. So I shrink that for when my mom comes in, and then I'm here on ESPN just looking at scores and...
Did you know he does this, Carl?
We knew he did this.
And
as long as he's going to Yahoo looking up the civil rights movement and ESPN, I'm happy.
I think that Aaron and Dylan know things that we couldn't begin to know when we were younger. I think that he thinks that we're clueless, and I probably thought that my parents were clueless, but it's a very different kind of clue, you know.
Mom, you are pretty clueless when it comes to computers. I mean, no offense or anything, but just as I'm clueless when it comes to other things, so.
Although kids have often said in a derogatory way that their parents are clueless, here in this study, the sense of humor, the good-natured admissions of ignorance on all sides, the startling feeling of equality in the room made me think of a line by the writer Robert Anton Wilson. Real communication can only take place between equals. It's too early to know whether this new generation of kids that is so comfortable with computers they are no more mysterious than the refrigerator will help propel a revolution in relationships between parents and children, teachers and students, as profound as the changes in the technology itself. Don Tapscott, author of Growing Up Digital, says the members of this generation are not going to rebel against their parents in the same way the boomers did, because they already feel empowered. And for a moment, sitting with Aaron and his family in the study, one could almost believe that that's going to be true. Margot Adler, NPR News, Charlotte, Vermont.